Welcome to the Gym Shorts podcast series. I'm your host, Kathy Smith.
Hello, and welcome to the Gym Shorts podcast. We're so excited to introduce our next guest, Wayne Anderson, former math teacher for 31 years at Simley Senior High School, an all-around mathematics magician. Welcome, Wayne. It's so great to see you.
Thanks.
There are so many things to talk about when you get to high school math. I knew you would be the perfect person to share your expertise.
I mean, I've been there, seen a lot, and it's all interesting. So,
well, it's math, and you know, math is my least sub. I can't say favorite, but one of my hardest subjects that I've ever done in my life. So,
and you're not alone there. There's a lot of people that feel that way. So,
okay, so Wayne. First, can you tell us what are things parents should know or need to know about high school math?
But they got to know the basics. And sometimes, and I had the argument with an elementary teacher years ago, about he thought it was really great that they could figure out how to multiply 4 times 8 and figure out different ways to do that. And that's great in elementary, but by the time you get to the senior high or get to algebra, you can't be figuring and drawing a little figure to figure out what 4 times 8. At some time, you need to know it. And I won't say the dirty word memorization, but you need to know it. And you need to know your times tables. You need to be able to do some simple addition. All of that stuff's key. And, you know, they keep moving things down to junior high more and more. And one of the phrases I like is it's called math maturity. And some kids are ready for multi-step problems and some aren't. And if you throw them in there too early, they might end up kind of like you, hating math. You never were quite ready for what you were thrown at. Mm-hmm. And part of that is making sure they're ready, making sure they've got their multiplications down, got their simple basic math facts. They can deal with fractions. And I've had plenty of students that as soon as they see a fraction or problem, they just quit and don't want to do anymore because, no, I don't do fractions. Well, sorry, their fractions do happen. And now with calculators, you would handle the fractions. So there's not a good reason. You need to be able to work with some of the basic things. And even you go back to long divisions, and there's a whole argument there whether they should do it or not. It's still learning steps, and it's part of math maturity. Can they handle going through the steps just to do long division, which really isn't that difficult, but if they know their multiplication facts and different things, they can kind of do that. And so to be ready for high school math is make sure that they've gotten those skills that they're going to need, and they've got to be pretty good at those skills, because when you get to algebra and you get to combine like terms and multiply exponents and all of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. if you're backwards because you can't do that other stuff quick, it's going to be the snowball effect. And like with anything, if you don't get one thing with math, you're not going to get the next one. You're not going to get the next one. It just becomes, it kind of blows up. And so with the math maturity, making sure your son or daughter's staying with it, knowing the topics and subjects that they're supposed to have and be good at those. So
I love that you say something about long division. I remember when I was teaching middle school kiddos math, and they were trying to introduce different ways to do division, and they were trying to skip steps in long division. And I knew a lot of kids just wanted to pull their hair out because they're like, it takes so long. And then there were some curriculum things that were trying to teach you different ways to do long division, which was just even more confusing. So I'm glad to hear you saying it's just doing those steps. And I think that's the part where the middle school kids are like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to keep going down, you know, step by step and number by number.
It takes too long.
It's too long. But yeah. I agree with you that if you look at high school math, if you're not able to take those one step at a time and just do it, even though it takes a long time, that's probably where I got to the point when I was in high school to go, that's a lot of wasted time. But thank you. I think that's a very important point.
Yeah. And one of the things that drives me nuts, I watch these Facebook reels and mm-hmm. these pop up and they're like, well, now if you just would have done this trick, this was always with, a lot of times with fractions, sometimes with long division. If you'd only do this trick, here's what happens. And they show you. Well, they show you all these special cases. Well, if you're going to teach every special case, there's so much more that they're going to have to learn than just learn how to do it.
The basics.
And, you know, stay with the basics will serve you well.
Thank you, Wayne. Okay, so this is going to be a question because I know you love this kind of stuff. Why do we have to learn how to solve for AX divided by B minus AX equals 2? I mean, that's just an example, but how does this relate to anything after high school? Tell me.
You sound like my stepdaughter who thinks there's never any reason for doing any of that. But I guess it's a way of teaching people that steps, and there's a reason for steps and going through them and being able to follow them and follow rules and just kind of break things down. And it does lead you to higher math, because if you can't do it, you're not going to be able to do trig. You're not going to be able to do calculus. You've got to be able to do basic equations and solve things, because even when you get to physics, you're going to have to solve an equation and follow the rules and follow the properties. And they're not new math, because those rules have been around for hundreds of years. But it's this step following through and doing those. Now, as you know, when I got done with teaching, I spent a couple of years working for Wells Fargo, working as a manager, and worked in several different areas, which was kind of interesting and fun for me.
Yeah.
But I watched a lot of these college kids come in, and Wells Fargo has lots of procedures, and you need to follow the procedures. And if you go through the procedures, you're okay. And that really goes back to some of this algebra that you're doing, is knowing the step by step by step. And for me, I kind of get the step by step when I hit geometry and proofs. And when you're doing those and there's a reason for each one, it's just like when you get in, and lots of companies have procedures and things that you need to follow, and being able to follow those steps. And even when you buy one of those sander or sonder pieces of furniture, and they've got this list of steps to do, it's being able to follow a list of steps like that. And algebra has just been a good way of teaching those steps. And there's rules with it. And it also leads you to higher math. So it's a long answer to that, but there's kind of a method to their madness. And as you know, we've got the, I forget which company it is, but they always say, my dad always told me, is learning to learn is what you're doing in school. Well, you're kind of learning to use a process and go through steps. And that leads you to future skills.
Oh my gosh. Maybe that was my fault and my problem in math. And I remember when I was younger, my mom would make me put things together and I'd always have a few screws extra. So maybe that was my problem. I didn't like taking all those steps. Anyway. All right. Sometimes parents are hearing, oh, it's new math. What is new math, and are these new math standards, or what is that?
Well, and I chuckle because people hide behind that, well, it's new math, I don't understand. And I'll go back to the Facebook reels again. Mm-hmm. There's always these order of operation problems out there. And order of operations, again, have been around for hundreds of years. They haven't changed. The basics, again, like I said, the basics will serve you well. The basics really haven't changed. Now, there's some learning, they're teaching tools that they use that are a little bit new. And they teach some things in a little different way, which is different than you and I learned or we saw back then. Yeah. I subbed an hour for a colleague that had to be gone for one thing or another, and they were doing algebra tiles, and that would just, I don't see the point of those, but I know they've sold lots of those and people have used algebra tiles. It's, you know, so you can think of that as new math. It's been a new way of instructing or trying to show him some things, but the basic math concepts really haven't changed for hundreds of years. So I chuckle when I hear new math, but it's new instructions is what it is, or new ways of teaching.
when kids go to college and they take entry-level math, it seems like it's not introductory math. What kind of things in their high school time that should they prepare for? Or,
well, I think the high school curriculums and the college curriculums and all the colleges will do something different. I mean, and even different, not saying this is a bad thing or whatever, but depending on your college prof, you may get a different subject or which textbook he chooses to use, or he uses his own stuff, or her, I should say his or her stuff, you know, getting ready for college.
Yeah.
Again, making sure they understand the basics. Most colleges probably start at algebra 2 advanced level per se, and just have an algebra, you're not going to be ready for it. Algebra geometry, you're not going to be ready for it. You're going to need to be algebra 2, and quite honestly, there will probably be some things that won't be covered in your algebra 2 college, high school algebra 2 class, that'll end up being in a college algebra class. Also depending if you're taking a college algebra class that's taking you for a social sciences tract, or an education tract, or a statistics tract, or engineering tract, or something like that. How the colleges set that math class up will depend a little bit on that, but you need to have a good base of algebra 2. And you know, if even if you've taken a calculus class or pre-calculus class, pre-calculus is probably the best thing you can do to be ready for a college entry-level math class, if you want to say, because that's going to get more of the different topics in it, just not just algebra, and hit more of the trig topics. Now, for the advanced kids, what we found is even with the AP classes, and they take AP Calc 1 and AP Calc 2, and they get to college, their college classes, Calc class, and again, depending on what track they're going into, is going to look differently than their AP class in high school. And I would encourage, and I probably should have done the same thing when I went to college, is start it out with first calculus class. And even though you've had all that stuff already, it's probably just a good way to start college, start a college math class, get used to how the college math class works, and make sure you there's not little things that you didn't catch in your first calc class. So this to prepare you down the line, it's a good way to go. And I came out of small high school, we didn't have calculus, and I probably should have taken a pre-calculus class and gotten some things under my belt before I jumped into calculus. It would have made things go a lot smoother and easier. But you know, it's not a terrible thing to go to college and sort of retake the class you took in high school. And especially when you're starting out as a freshman. And I know we want to get everybody through these days, and across college, I'd want to get through too. You want to get through successfully too. So I think that would be one of the things I'd say for the upper kids is maybe, you know, start at a level that you've kind of been at. And for the other kids, you need to get to an algebra 2 level. One thing I'll say is, just throw this in there, a skill that I always told my kids and tried to encourage, and it didn't work with every kid, but you need to be able to ask questions. And it's a skill that'll serve you well going through college and going through life and everything that you do. It's interesting, when you sit in class, the kids that ask the questions are always the A students, because they want to know, they want to stay on top of it, and they don't want to get snowballed. And I go back to the snowball effect. If you don't get one topic and we move on, you're going to have more trouble with the next topic, and you're going to have more trouble with the next topic. So encourage your son or daughter to get in, ask questions. If they don't like asking the questions, go see your teacher before or after school, or whenever you can. But asking questions will serve them well. And if they, I like to say, questions that don't get answered don't get asked. I'm sorry, questions that don't get asked don't get answered. So it's just a good life skill for them to learn.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I think people, if I think of myself when I was in high school learning math, I was afraid to be the dummy. So I didn't want to ask questions, because I was like, everybody else looks like they understand this and I don't. And so I just kind of tried to skate through and do the best I could. So that's such a good piece of advice. And what do you think about math tutors then? What about kids? Like, maybe I should have had a math tutor, but how do parents know that their kids are struggling? Is it just from grades, or what do you recommend about tutoring?
Go that route and try to work with your teacher, because the teacher that they're working with is probably the best tutor that they're going to have. Because that's the person that knows what they're trying to get accomplished and what they're trying to do. But as far as, I mean, I encourage parents to hire tutors at some point, or seek out an older student that could help the student somehow do some things, or even work with another student in class. But if you have the means to hire a tutor, to keep your kid going and not getting snowballed and constantly staying up on things, I mean, it's a great way to do it and to help out. I mean, I had classes of 41 in an honors class. I couldn't help everyone in the 41, sorry to say, as well as I would have liked. And the way budgets go, the way things are happening, a little bit with the teacher shortages right now, that's not going to go away. So, you know, if you can help out a little bit and help your son or daughter out that way, yeah. And again, there's good and bad tutors out there, so be careful of that. Just somebody to help them keep the basics going and stay on top is a great thing.
Awesome. So what about you? What would you say for kids that aren't going to be going to college? What things do they need to know in life that are math based?
Again, just like go back to Wells Fargo where I worked, they would hire people just with a college degree. It didn't matter what the degree was that they had the degree, so that they knew how to go through those steps. Now, even if you, you know, are going straight into the workforce and you're going to be a carpenter or different things, or you're still going to have rules that you have to follow and things that you have to do, procedures that you have to do. And algebra steps kind of are teaching them that, you know, and following the rules and that kind of thing. So, and you'll still need the basic math. It's interesting. I have some stepsons that are working on their electrical and degrees, and math comes in, you know, all of a sudden they've got to do the math. And you know, it's like, well, and then, you know, they're a few years away from high school, so they're a few years away from studying some of that. And so the math is still will come back whether you think so or not. And the basic math that you're going to have to be able to multiply and divide. You might have to, if you're a carpenter, deal with some fractions, all of that kind of stuff. So, and when you get to the tech schools, if they do a tech school route, they're going to see classes and their math going to be geared for what they're going into. And the tech schools are honestly doing probably a better job of that than colleges, because they know here's the skills you're going to need. They work with the, you know, the tech people and the people within the school. And, you know, they need to be able to do, they add the fractions. They need to be able to do this. They need to be, they're very good at that. So having their basic math skills and then let them, you know, teach that. But if you, you know, been snowballed for too many years, and I probably said that when you were in my class with the crew we had, and I said, how many have sat in a math class and never knew, didn't have any clue what was going on? Raise your hand. And everybody kind of raised their hands. You know, you kind of keep away from the snowball effect and make sure you kind of get the basics down. And even if you want tech school, and even if you're going straight into the workforce, you're still going to have some of that. And even when you're at the store and, you know, you check out, it's like, why is this $800? This doesn't make sense. They think there's a mistake here. It should be more like 80, you know. Some of that math like that, they need to be able to calculate and not be taken advantage of.
Yeah, well, that's good advice. I think that's important. Okay, when we were working together, I know we talked a little bit about financial literacy. Is there anything that's specific to compounded interest, or, you know, if people are going to buy the latest tech stocks or what have you, do you recommend parents educating their kids in that area of math, or do you think in high school that's pretty common now, or what are your thoughts on that?
With the standards, they're trying to get more of that in, and I always said, you know, this group of kids, when I grew up, when you grew up, 5.25% interest on a savings account was automatic.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody would give five, you know, if anything, to have 5.25% interest right now. And it's too bad for our kids because they don't see the value of savings and putting money in there and watching it kind of grow. And I mean, that's the best teacher, is to actually have something like that. But they're trying to get more and more of that in with the standards. Sometimes, depending on the school and how things are, there's so much we have to teach.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot in algebra. There's a lot in algebra too. There's keep adding more topics and adding more topics and adding more topics. And it's, you know, you might get a couple of days, you might get a week on some of that financial stuff, which doesn't cut it. And depending if you have an accounting class and they don't really do, you know, they do the basics, and that kind of stuff, but they won't do the compounding interest probably as much, and some of all that that they kind of need,
yeah,
and to be able to see how that grows and see how they can, you know, create a ton of debt with the credit card debt really quick. And
yeah, and that's such a, I think that is such a missed opportunity, because kids go to college and then they're getting 10 different, you know, credit applications in the mail. Oh, you're approved for blah, blah, blah. But they're like, okay, and they sign up for it. But I don't know where the disconnect lies, but I think that it's been happening for decades, where college kids, or just kids in general, all of a sudden have this exorbitant debt, and they're like, well, how did that happen? You know, kind of. So interesting.
Yeah, so it's definitely more needed, probably more needed as a senior class almost, because they're about to jump into the real world. They're about to be accountable for everything.
Yeah.
Lower levels is probably like, who cares? Are we good for mom and dad? That kind of thing. So it definitely is more needed than it's probably happening. And
I mean, and like you said, you know, maybe they're at least spending a little bit more time on it in class. But again, with you guys having more standards and more standards and teaching and on top, it makes sense that it's kind of a little bit maybe overlooked. But I just think at the high school level, if teachers and kids could work on that more, it would just be so much more helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so last but not least, there is something that I love to ask all of the people on my podcast, and then we can go from there. But Wayne, think about this. What, if you think back, what was your favorite kids book?
I would just say A Cat in a Hat or whatever would probably be about the only thing I can possibly even remember.
Like, think about Cat in the Hat. What is that? It's rhyming. It's got a pattern to it when you're saying it out loud. It's early rhymes are really good for your math brain. So that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, is there anything more that you want to tell parents that you wish you could tell them when you were teaching their kids, or what you wish parents would know now about math?
No, I think biggest thing for parents is, you know, don't let the snowball effect happen. Make sure you're checking in, and make sure your son or daughter's keeping up. As soon as they start falling behind on some of it, it's time for action, because don't wait till the end of the year. If they get behind on something, they're getting behind on more and more and more stuff. So stay on top of it. And again, encourage them to ask questions, because it's a skill that'll serve them well their whole life. So when you don't know something, find out. One way or another, find out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.